Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
So let's start with what we saw yesterday, I guess. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But the full complement of Hurricanes were there. All seven NHL defensemen that will vie for spots in the opening night lineup. And maybe one spot available on the opening night roster at fourth line center. Does that seem like a fair assessment to you?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you look at sort of Jack Drury, whether you think he's a lock or not. I think he probably is. And I think the only thing that was really notable from yesterday and the practices, I wouldn't stick around for the second practice, the first practice anyway, was that Caleb Jones is in the second group, which indicates that Tony DeAngelo is some distance ahead of Caleb Jones
in
that sort of shaking down the blue line. And look, I get it. Rod loves Tony. We've been over this.
Mm-hmm.
But given the fact that Tony DeAngelo is coming in here off the ninth buyout of his career, I might have started him in the second group just to light a fire under him. I mean, I think you want to make it clear that he's not coming in here, with everything assured that he still has to earn something. But it's fine. It's a minor. What I would have done. It's a minor issue.
I've spoken to Tony enough. I don't believe Tony feels like he's owed anything. I think Tony feels like he's got to beat out Jalen Chatfield for that spot. I mean, the other five are all going to play. You didn't pay Dmitry Orlov $7.5 million or whatever it is.
No. Right? And this is the very far down the depth chart. And I don't think there's any question at all that Jalen Chatfield is, in my mind, an NHL regular on this team. So we're fighting for table scraps here, essentially. Right. But, I just found that interesting that Tony DeAngelo is in one group and Caleb Jones is in the other.
Yeah, okay. This is our, I guess, differing view of Caleb Jones. I think Caleb Jones is going to go to the minor leagues. I think the plan with Caleb, and I think the same thing will happen with Dylan Coughlin, is that at some point after all the preseason games are done, they'll be placed on waivers. They'll both go unclaimed, although maybe Coughlin won't go unclaimed. And they'll go to the minor leagues, wherever the Hurricanes are going to stash minor leaguers, and they'll be able to call them up if they need them in case of injury. But I think the other seven are going to make the NHL roster.
Yeah, I mean, the other fair question is Dylan Coughlin over Caleb Jones? The Hurricanes know what they have with Coughlin. They did not use him a lot last year, obviously, once the season got deeper. And there's no question that you sign all these defensemen because you are concerned. Or not concerned even, you are aware of the possibility that you're going to lose some or all these guys on waivers, which is, you know, the sort of meme out there now about the Hurricanes and their 38 defensemen, has always sort of been a let's get through camp. Because the other part of it is, Adam, that people are forgetting here, and it's why there's so many guys on PTOs in that second group.
Yeah.
When you don't have an AHL team, you don't have a bunch of veteran AHL guys who randomly show up in camp because they're on AHL contracts. Somebody's got to play in these preseason games, right? Sebastian Aho's not playing five preseason games. You need, like, quite frankly, you need some cannon fodder.
Yeah.
And so, you know, signing a bunch of defensemen, bringing in a bunch of forwards on PTOs, yes, you're giving someone a chance to earn a spot, but yes, you've got to make it through the preseason without killing your guys. And the Hurricanes, in this very weird 1 year without an AHL franchise, and we'll see what happens next year. There are some interesting things afoot. But I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys in camp who are here to fill out the numbers way more so than in any typical training camp.
All right, let's go to NC State's trip to Charlottesville. I mean, I don't know if it's a must win, but it's a you better not lose type of a game. Virginia's terrible.
It's a must win. It is a 100%, no doubt about it. If you can't beat this Virginia team, which, look, part of it is talent. There's no question about it. It's not a good football team. The other part of it is these guys are still traumatized by what happened last year. It's pretty clear that they're still dealing with that, and that's fine. Playing football is clearly part of the healing process. But that doesn't make you any better of a football team necessarily. And if you can't beat James Madison on the day you honor the three guys who died – You got to be, you know, NC State's got to approach this game as an absolute. If NC State loses this game, it is inexcusable. Mm-hmm. There are very few ACC road games you look at and say this is a 100% no doubt about it, must-win game. There's no doubt in my mind that this is one of them, especially when you fold in Brennan Armstrong going back to Charlottesville with everything to play for. You know, like, let's face it, the Brennan Armstrong, Robert and I offensive wizardry has not really been on display in the first 3 weeks. We talked about it. I thought maybe they were hiding some of it against UConn for Notre Dame, but looked pretty much the same against Notre Dame. Now, that has a lot to do with NC State's skill players are not good.
Yep, that's the problem, you know, isn't it?
Jordan Houston is gone now, and the receivers, I mean, Porter Rooks dropped two passes in the first two or three drives and didn't play again until garbage time, and that's a guy you're counting on.
Yep.
Now, Juice Vereen came in and played well, so opportunity there for him. And then, the VMI game is the VMI game. You kind of throw that one out. That's a controlled scrimmage. So, you know, you get back to an ACC game with a lot on the line here against a team that's just reeling physically, mentally, all these things. Absolute must win for the Wolfpack.
Yeah, there's nothing you could take from the VMI game. The only thing you could take from it is that you hope that whatever confidence players take from it, they carry over to the next game, because if you are a confident player, you'll be a better player because you won't be thinking as much. You'll just be doing. So that's, to me, the only thing you take out of a game like that. I didn't learn that, oh, look, the Wolfpack have a better offense. No, because this isn't going to tell me anything. This week will tell us something. I don't know how much. Next week against Louisville, we'll learn a lot more about what the Wolfpack are. But, I'm not blaming Brennan Armstrong or Robert and I. You can't throw and catch. Wolfpack have not been good, catching contested balls. They have not been great running. I don't understand the Jordan Houston thing. It's clearly either he said he wants to leave or they said he wants to leave. You want to leave or so because you don't say he's redshirting and then wish him well in the future in the same tweet. I can't imagine Jordan Houston's going to be back, but I could be wrong. That could be an incorrect read in the situation for me, but to me, Jordan Houston is no longer, and he's been here since 2019. Tar Heels, different situation, going to Pitt. Pitt has not looked good at all. Phil Jakovich has been terrible. What was it that one of the players for West Virginia said after the game? That quarterback is not good at his job. That's a terrible thing to say about the opposing quarterback, whether it's accurate or not. This is another case where if North Carolina, are you real, then you beat Pitt.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the Pitt's offense right now looks like Matt Canada's coaching it. It's that bad.
Wow. He is in town.
Doing double duty across town. But Pitt has obviously been a team that's given North Carolina its issues over the years. There's some history there.
Yeah, a lot of it.
But, yeah, I think that this is, again, if you're the team that North Carolina says it is, you go up there and beat Pitt. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No. I mean, I think Pitt's, you know, going to be angry. I don't think Pitt's as bad as a team as it's shown. I mean, you look at the two, take out the two Virginias and Pitt from the ACC. ACC is killing everybody. You throw the two Virginias and Pitt in there, the ACC doesn't look quite as good. I think it's hard. It's hard to say that North Carolina.
Before Sarah discovered ChumbaCasino.com, she enjoyed chamomile tea.
Come on, big jackpot.
And being in PJs by 6.
Let's go.
The new fun Sarah.
Woohoo!
Often thinks about the old boring Sarah.
Yes.
And wonders if that Sarah ever really existed.
Chumba Casino has over 100 casino-style games, so join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
North Carolina's got to win this one. I mean, I think Pitt can play well and give them a game, but if you – you said it. If you're the team, you think, yeah, you got to open win this one. I'm trying to talk my way around that. There's no way
if you're
around
real.
It.
If
there's
you're no real, you win it. The game. Even with Virginia Tech, Virginia, and Pitt, the ACC has a winning record against the SEC and the Big Ten. Go Syracuse. Who figured that? With the win at Purdue.
Is Syracuse good?
I have no idea. They're Syracuse.
I don't have any idea, but it's like, is Syracuse good? Maybe.
They've had good records without being good before, so I don't know if they're good or not, but they won, and that's really all that matters. All right, after Luke DeCock, but real quick, Duke going to UConn. UConn looked like they were at least put up a good fight in week one against NC State. This is also the same thing I said about North Carolina. If Duke is real, I think they are, then they go to UConn. It's a big spread. Duke's a 21-point favorite up there.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I wrote about, you know, the Northwestern game. That was like the third time since David Cutcliffe arrived that Duke had been a 16-point or better favorite against a Power 5 opponent. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, UConn, obviously not a Power 5 opponent, but I thought NC State's opener at UConn, I thought, was a sneaky tough game because that was a team that got better over the course of last season with a new coach. Jim Mora knows what he's doing. A game that NC State should have won and did win. But Connecticut can give you trouble, and I think the risk for Duke, same as it was against Northwestern. You know, do you let an inferior team hang around and mess around and find out? The thing about the Northwestern game is Duke did not. I mean, right. Duke just crushed Northwestern. Again, another program in some disarray. Obviously, with some talent deficits and whatever, but they gave a Big Ten opponent, pretty big team, tough team, not very fast, but credible, absolutely no oxygen. And they've got to do the same thing at UConn. A little tougher because UConn, I mean, I think we can expect UConn to be better than it was against NC State, given their history last year of sort of consistent week-to-week improvement. But again, that's a game that Duke should go up and win. The spread seems a little big to me, but if you look at Duke's results, they're killing people. So if you're Vegas, why would you expect them to stop now? I mean, that's a crazy thing to say about Duke football, but you know, they're plus minus this year. It's pretty good. I mean, they're killing people. So maybe Vegas knows what it's talking about again.
All right. Final thing for Luke DeCock of the News and Observer. You can follow him at Luke DeCock on Twitter. Florida State's the best team in the ACC. I can't wait to watch the game at Clemson. It's a last hurrah for Clemson, too. I think Clemson either wins this game or the competitive part of the ACC season is probably over. Rank the next four teams for me in the ACC after Florida State. Who's 2, 3, 4, and 5?
No, that's a good question. And I just want to say for the record that I fool me twice on Florida State. I still think the Seminoles have the absolute and expansive capacity to disappoint over the next 2 months.
They do.
I'm not. I do.
They tried last week.
They tried very hard last week.
They did.
I would. You know, I don't think Clemson's any good by Clemson standards. I think it's a fine football team, but a very ordinary one. I'm gonna. It's hard for me to do this off the top of my head, but I'm gonna say that Carolina is number two.
Right.
And I'm going to take Duke 3.
Ooh.
Because the speed and physicality of this Duke team is it jumps out at you.
Not buying Miami, I guess.
But dude, have I ever bought Miami? If I could sell Miami short, I wouldn't be working because I'd be a billionaire.
That's true.
I guess you can, gambling. But,
yes.
No, I'm not buying Miami. I think I would probably have Clemson or Louisville in the next spot. I like Louisville. I think Louisville is going to give State a heck of a test.
Over.
I think Louisville's legit.
I have Miami number 2, Duke number 3, Carolina number 4, Clemson number 5. But that's pretty good. And I'd love to see Louisville be good again. And I'd love to see NC State do something this week and maybe get on a little bit of a roll. Luke DeCock, I appreciate your time. We will talk again. I'll see you, I'll probably see you Tuesday for the big show at PNC Arena.
The big preseason opener. There's nothing that gets the blood pumping like some early preseason hockey.
Can't wait.
I want to know, Adam, here's a question for you.
All right.
Where is Jesper Sellgren, the single most exciting prospect who never materialized? That dude was awesome in rookie camp his first year, has never come back over. Everybody who saw him loved him. It just proves that none of us in the media know what we're talking about.
I think he's playing for Luleå in the Swedish Elite League.
Gone on to have a nice career in Europe, but man, everybody who was at those rookie camp practices was like, this guy's a dude.
Oh, smooth.
And then smooth. I mean, just looked like a player. You never know.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
See you, bud.
Luke Dukak here in the of the NNO.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.